doing?
And a podcast.
Torch.
Wood.
Cast. We've landed in our little booth from the sky in a big ball of fire. Hello. This is day three. This is day three.
And what a long day. What a long day.
We'll get to it, but it's starting to feel like the usual problem with like things that take place over consecutive days, where
this could have been a movie.
Yeah. Anyway, day three, broadcast on July 8th, 2009. May July 8th be with you. Written by Russell and James Moran, who, you know, James Moran, Cockney sort of zombies himself.
Russell Ford T. Davis.
Russell Ford T. Davis. Ford T. D. Chess. Directed by Ruslan. The gist. So Torchwood goes to a safe house. Well, schools are closed and a curfew is imposed. The team resort to petty theft to support themselves. And then Gwen gives Lois the camera contact lenses from Reset as an eight, the episode.
Oh!
So she can go. Yeah.
That's what's wrong. Okay.
Yeah. It's from the television show.
Forgot that about. you meant the. Wait.
Yeah. They're the things that Martha wears them for one. Is it Martha who wears them for the one episode? It's the one where Owen gets shot. They infiltrate the building. The MI6 building to see what the big cube is about. Jack realizes that he was involved with Clem's things. Alice, who was Jack's daughter, tries to call him, which summons the Black Ops to her door, and she's subsequently arrested. The aliens arrive in a big ball of fire while all the kids and Clem point to the sky. The aliens call themselves 456 after the broadcast signal they've been using. And the man, they're like, we want to speak to the world. And Ferber was like, nah, you can't. So they're like, we'll speak to you then for a wisher. And he says, thank you, but don't tell anyone you were here before. And they're like, don't worry, dude, we won't. But they're crossing their fingers, you know. The government basically got given out to by the UN. Or by UN nations, and they're like, fine, Frobisher, you are a spokesperson. You have to speak on behalf of us to the 456. Jack finds out it's a 456, and he freaks out a little bit, and then he goes back to the safe house, and Clem sees him there, and Clem's like, oh my god, it's you. And he turns out that Jack handed over 12 kids to the 456 in 1965. Before that, Lois sneaks into the meeting in MI6, and Frobisher holds a conference with like military officials and the Prime Minister, and the 456 are like, we have one request from you. We want a gift, and that gift is 10% of the world's children.
Dun, and, dun, dun. Dun, dun.
Can I just say, Clem, very problematic. Very problematic.
I'm kind of done with Clem. I think Clem should McDonald's out of there, if you know what I mean. I mean, he should get out.
Mm-hmm. Well, for starters, he was very, very homophobic towards Yanto.
He was like, I can smell it. He's queer. It's like, how do gay people smell? I'll tell you how they smell. Fabulous. Okay. I said fun of that joke 24 hours ago.
We can say that. We can say that.
I can say that.
Clem is kind of there. There's a lot of this episode that makes me both laugh and kind of go in like a in a good way.
Or sniff.
Me go. Yeah, that smells. That smells like Torchwood. The one of my favorite moments is when Yanto gives Jack the coat, and Jack comes back in. He's like, "I'm back," and they play the Torchwood theme song. It's a very funny moment because he wasn't gone. the crime montage as well, I think, is really good. You know, it's one of those things that I think, you know, I think it's good. I think it's a good kind of, you know, it's got good momentum. But like, as you were saying, the problem is that, like, to me, it feels a lot more than just 3 days, and it's kind of hard to like put that to one side because so much it's packing in so much like incident and like consequence that like to say it's been 3 days since it started feels a little disingenuous to me.
Yeah,
I don't know.
I think this disingenuous is a good word because also that's how I felt about the 4, 5, 6 in that I think when they show up they are really creepy.
Mm-hmm.
It really got to me, the whole like they're fogged up, you don't see them. That's really smart. Whoever did that should get a fucking prize. In all honesty. But then they add those like weird sound effects. You know, mm-hmm. like
no, they're throwing up.
You could put those sound effects here, actually. You could play that sound effect mm-hmm. where you're like, and I thought that was so goofy that they were like, we are going to take the children. Like it sounds so bad.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, they're a giant Muppet. They are literally like a giant Muppet. Like,
yeah, they're yeah. good. It's very smart. Again, very smart. And I think that whole scene is very creepy, suitably creepy. It's just mm-hmm. that sound effect really threw me off. It's like
mm-hmm.
anyway, and also I think it's really funny. I'm not trying to imply anything. I don't think there was any foul play going on. It's funny how much this looks like the scene from Arrival where they talk to the aliens.
mm-hmm.
Down to like the way they establish communication, the fogged up container, the fact that the aliens have like these tentacles. That's like, I mean, again, they don't, it's not the same thing. Again, I know it's not the same thing, I know, but it is funny to me.
Mm-hmm. What if in Arrival, Amy Adams had walked over with a board and they'd vomited all over her?
Honestly, that movie would have been over much faster.
Mm-hmm. They would have gone out there and said, "Okay,
bomb the ship,"
and then they would have.
They vomited. Mm-hmm. I can't stand people who vomit. Mm-hmm.
You know what made Arrival great as well? Is if Trinity Wells.
Oh
well.
Hell yeah! Do you think that's the first thing RTD wrote when he got back to to Doctor Who? Exterior news montage.
Trinity Wells says, "I'm back," and then her theme song.
He can't have anything go on without a fucking news montage. This man, you know, loves a news montage.
Mm-hmm. If they're bringing back Trinity Wells, they should do like they need to maybe like take her out of the newsroom and give like because like you know so much of like modern day stuff is like the newsreaders of that era are now like you know. Hosting like mini documentary shows on like CNN and stuff.
Are you saying Trinity? Oh, I thought you were gonna say Trinity Wells is hosting like what's the name of the Alex Jones thing? InfoWars. I thought that's what you were gonna say. That like,
I mean, you don't know what happened between 2010 and 2023. You know, you never know.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's doing a good job like grounding things. Like the whole thing with Alice, the whole sequence where like she is obviously doesn't know that he's been like detained, well not detained, that he was detained, that he was blown up, detained, and then taken out again. You know, it's doing a good job like grounding everything together. It's just that like some of those elements I truly like don't really care about, I think, is the other thing. Like I don't really care about the whole like Black Ops kind of part of the plot, the whole mm-hmm. like it I know what we said last like we said yesterday about like, you know, them all having a reason to be fearful of like things happening to kids is good, but like I I find Alice as a character to be very kind of...
She's kind of doing a Bugs... She's kind of doing a Gillian Anderson thing. Right? That's kind of what she looks like to me. I keep looking at her face, it's like mm-hmm. somebody was like, we got Gillian Anderson at home, and it's her. I know she's a real person, and I feel bad for saying that, but at the same time, it does mm-hmm. feel like we got Gillian Anderson at home. But yeah, it's like... kind of bring them back to be a device. I don't understand why these characters are still here other than to be like, we have your daughter and grandson, which could be done other ways, you know? You don't need to have these guys to do it.
It is done other ways, because then Jack and Frobisher have that moment. That is this episode. I'm trying to think. That is the episode where Jack runs up Frobisher and he's like, "You guys have, like, is it the 4 or 5 6?" And Frobisher's like, "We have your granddaughter, and we have your grandson." Or yeah, I don't know. Everything's melting. I only know what happens in the next episode because there's a moment in that which we'll get to mm-hmm. tomorrow that completely took me out of the episode for like. A good 3 minutes. I think you might know what it is, but I don't know because
I haven't seen it yet. Remember?
Yeah. Well, yeah, exactly.
When you see it, you'll
say, wow, that Rick Yates. I wonder what their issue is.
Who's Rick Yates? Anyway, I actually am confused now. We'll figure it out.
Rick Yates is a certain bald person who is in like a shop like 2 seconds.
Oh, and okay. I know what it is. Like, all right.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. But yeah, it is, I think it's just like, I don't mind the 4, 5, 6 being like kind of goofy. I think it kind of works in their favor a little bit to be kind of that off-puttingly goofy, but I just think it's maybe starting to kind of straddle the line between, you know, grounded and kind of out there in ways that maybe doesn't quite help the tone it's
it
going
feels
for.
To me like that this is the moment where speaking of straddling, this is the moment where I felt like they should have had a scene of at least one person being like, why don't we just call the doctor, because it's like it just got too big and the unit is right there, right? Mm-hmm. Like unit mm-hmm. is right there.
Well,
and,
I mean,
and I feel like they're
you could always just say like they tried and then he was either, you know, it was either when he was on the Planet of the Dead or he was with David Morrissey or he was on Mars or something.
All right, but here's the thing. I feel like there is a way to have this scene and to explain why they're not calling the doctor. That is not that. There easily is a scene where somebody's like, you should call the doctor, and then they're like, actually, no, because we don't want the doctor to know that we did this in the past. And we, like, gave these kids to the 4, 5, 6 in the past. There we go. That's it. That's all done. And again, and I know that, like, the reason they can't do this is because John Pertwee is dead. But it just kind of feels like there's fucking 14 of this guy out there. Are you telling me not one of them is going to answer the call? Like, My dream is the scene where they're like, all right, let's call the doctor. Tennant picks up. I can't do it. All right. Matt Smith picks up. I can't do it. Capaldi picks up. It's a paradox. Okay. If Colin Baker picks up. No. Like, it just feels like we have reached a point where the more they don't address it, the more I'm like, you have this fucking guy who has saved your ass countless times. He has a time machine. Like, why is nobody at least bringing it up? And it's like, it's much more like, from this is the moment where I'm like, they should have just like, this should be a different universe. Because I don't believe that these people would act. Technically, all of the people in that room have knowledge of the doctor because they're unit in the British government. And I would say even the Americans have knowledge of the doctor and Torchwood. I just don't believe that anyone in that situation would not go, let's call the fucking immortal alien who has done this 1,000 times. And I also, and here's the thing, I genuinely don't believe the immortal alien would not be there. Like, I genuinely, like, at least fucking, you're telling me not even Hardnell is going to show up? Like, the 456? Like, you're telling me that? Like, yeah, come on, guys.
Well, if Hartnell showed up and was like, actually, I agree with them, and he got back in his TARDIS and he flew off again, like, you know. I my thing as well is that I don't, like, I feel like, I know where they can't, like, do any of this kind of stuff, but, like, I feel like Sarah Jane would probably have.
Where is Sarah Jane? Why hasn't Sarah Jane, like, rung up anyone? I mean, Sarah Jane has a kid. Would Luke be, and her friends are kids. I mean, Luke wouldn't be doing it because he's not a human kid, but I think, like, Clyde would be doing it.
But I don't know. I think the accepted wisdom of it is that it's only, like, small kids are affected by it. Because it seems to be, like, all the kids are showing are, like, you know, at most 10. Which, I mean, I guess wouldn't probably mean that Luke would be affected, because he's, like, technically, like, 3 years old. I feel like even then, like, Sarah Jane would, like, I have a very powerful supercomputer in my attic. You want to borrow it to and see what's going absolutely. On here?
Like, the reason why Sarah Jane, like, can do... Yeah. It's like, if anything you said in the Doctor Who universe, you have to deal with the question of, why don't you just call the Doctor? Because... Especially if it is a spin-off of these characters who know the Doctor. But also, we were talking about this, I think, yesterday. It's the whole tone thing. You can push things in a childish tone with, like, Sarah Jane Adventures, because Doctor Who is inherently, like, a childish idea. It is like, there's a magical person out there flying in a spaceship who can solve anything. But the more you push it into real thing, the more it becomes, like, it just feels like... George was kind of crossing their arms and going, I guess we'll play in Doctor Who's sandbox, but I wish I didn't have to. I'm just going to pretend Doctor Who isn't even there. It's like, I mean, yeah, sure, you can do it, but at the same time, it's kind of a bit of, like, 10% of me is being held back to, is incapable of, like, connecting fully to this, because I just keep thinking, why hasn't Jack called the Doctor? Like, it's just... It just feels stupid. It just feels like he's being stupid for no reason. You have the biggest get out of jail free card in the world, in the universe. And he did it. And the thing is, until they brought up the whole, like, orphans in Scotland and they were displaced, Jack didn't even realize that this is what it was about. He didn't even know. So he could have this is the moment where it's like, the scene should have been here. Like, can you imagine the scene where he's like, I'm calling the Doctor, and they say, all right, oh, this is related to an orphanage in Scotland. And he just, like, silently turns off the phone. It's like, he didn't pick up. Like, that, it would be a kick-ass scene. Mm-hmm. And I know that, like, nobody cares about this, because this is such a stupid thing to nitpick. But it just feels to me like such a wasted opportunity to really dig in how fucked everyone is. To really, like, really make it clear that you cannot call the Doctor on this one. And the thing is... You gotta make that clear if you are doing a spinoff. Because you can't have Elizabeth Slater turn to the camera and say, the reason I'm not calling the Doctor is because David Tennant is busy. Like, you can't do that. You know? You gotta come up with a reason. I just wanted something. I wanted one thing. That just one thing. And I'm pretty sure, like, the fucking novelization talks about it. I don't know. Did they do a novelization of this?
I didn't. Yeah. No, they haven't. I think they've ever done Torchwood novelizations. They've done Torchwood novels, but they haven't done Torchwood novelizations. Which you should, maybe. I don't know. I don't know. The whole thing as well with Jack.
It really does feel like you should have kind of clocked it earlier too. Like,
case.
Really, man, it took until he mentioned the Scotland thing for the orphanage for you to clock it. Not the millions of children saying they're coming back. Not the people who got killed with you on the same day as you. Like, nothing about that made you clock it? Whatever, man. He's been busy. He's been busy. Mm-hmm. It's been a long day. It's been a long, anyway. It's been a long week for him. Been awake for like 24 hours. Yeah, got blown up.
Entombed in cement.
Which is...
He'd blown up.
Yeah, it's really cool. They ask, like, do you feel anything? And he's like, yep. Yeah. I felt...
Actually, as we established, it's over the course of 3 days. That montage of them doing crimes feels like something that's like a lot longer than like 3 hours, whatever they were doing, spent like kidnapping people.
But at the same time, did nobody notice? I don't understand. If my waiter came up to me and one, it was not the same waiter that had served me. Two, he had a noticeable scar on his cheek. I would be like, who are you? But those people are just like, here's my credit card.
But they buy like an entire like safe house worth of like equipment in like 3 hours and say, oh, it's a bit whatever, but I don't know. I think we're getting to the point where like, you know, maybe some cracks are forming in the premise, but also I think, you know, some things are obviously like building steam. But yeah, I think that's pretty much all I have to say about day three. I don't know about you.
I think the only I do want to say some thoughts I had. Two thoughts specifically. One is, here's how you know Doctor Who is a fantasy show, because it's the only universe where British people matter more than everyone else. Sorry, bad joke. And I would also say Peter Capaldi really, really good at doing phone scenes. That man puts so much energy into holding a phone.
Mm-hmm.
You believe that he's talking to somebody and not to John Barrowman standing off camera. I also think it got me thinking that I think phone scenes lost a lot of luster when the phones became glass bricks. There's something really good about like being able to like close the phone in like a clamshell, or like slowly close it shut, or press a button to turn it off. Can't really do that with that. I think that's why most scenes nowadays with phones and with people throwing their iPhones at the wall, because that's like the old, it's like the only way you can visually convey anger. You know?
Mm-hmm. I think the problem as well is that most phone scenes nowadays are FaceTime scenes rather than phone call scenes, and it kind of drops a lot of the kind of drama from the kind of pure action of like being like I'm on the phone acting. But anyway, tomorrow.
Human response is to accept and adapt.
We're adapting right now, and we're making this a war.
And the fight begins.
We're waiting for your reply.
Action has been taken.
What have you done?
You wanted a demonstration of war. The virus has been released. It will kill everyone in the building.
Can they override it?
I don't know.
The building's designed to withstand chemical and biological attack. Nothing or no one can get in or out.
Happy now.
The air's poison. Call someone. Shut down the air conditioning. Block every air vent. Get gas masks, hazard suits, oxygen cylinders.
There's a virus, and there must be an antivirus. Release it now, or I'll blow a hole in that tank, and we'll all die together.
You made your point. Now stop this, and we can talk.
Tomorrow we meet Rick Yates. I'm really excited to meet Rick Yates. But yeah, that's about it. Day three, more like day goodbye.